This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Joining me today is John Tanner from the Peterstrip National Park and Dr. Dan Brown from Nottingham Trent University. Hi, guys, and thanks for joining us on the Jodcast. You guys gave a talk earlier today in the outreach session about dark skies. Would you be able to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we presented the outcomes of a project we got funded by STFC for trying to raise awareness of dark sky pollution and light pollution in general in the Peak District. So we were just presenting some of the outcomes and some of the activities that we've done from this project.
Okay. How was the data obtained? Is it sort of done through analysis of stars in the sky?
It is not actually assessing how light polluted it is. It's more about trying to assess how well we've managed to transfer the message of being aware of light pollution. And we've done several small-scale activities, and we had questionnaires and did small interviews and asked the participants what they thought of that, and that's one way of assessing how well they worked. And these were a lot of small-scale activities that we did. We included some guided tours and walks onto a site, and there's one good example of Nine Ladies, I think.
Yeah, that's right. The Nine Ladies Stone Circle is a stone circle that's thought to be about 4,000 to 6,000 years old,
yeah,
in the heart of the Peak District National Park. And as part of this project, we ran a series of events at Stanton in the Peak, which is where the Nine Ladies Stone Circle is, where we invited the public to come along to a inflatable planetarium session,
okay,
which sent a message not only about the night sky in the months that the events were run, but also about the detrimental impacts of light pollution. We then took the members of the public on a walk up to the Nine Ladies Stone Circle to explain how light pollution has a detrimental impact on our cultural heritage. The people who would have put the stone circle in place would almost certainly have experienced a darker sky, and
yeah,
certainly the night sky would have influenced them culturally. So we had about 150 people over two events at the Nine Ladies Stone Circle. Very atmospheric. If you can picture a small version of Stonehenge, a very small version of Stonehenge, with the mist rolling in, church bells tolling in the background, and tawny owls hooting. It was a superb event. In total, we engaged about 400 or 500 people throughout the events that we ran. And as Dan said, this was all part of a STFC-funded project on promoting awareness of light pollution in and around the national park.
Okay.
It's quite a good representation that one person described the experience as magical. So we've not only managed to inform people on the site about light pollution, but we managed to make light pollution and dark skies relevant for them and link an emotional response to what they then see, what light pollution does to a site. And one key message was linking heritage with light pollution. And essentially, if you don't look after light pollution and you put more and more lights up, it is as if you take a bulldozer running through Stonehenge, and everybody would cry out loudly if you wanted to do that. And in this case, we're trying to say, well, hey guys, if you illuminate your local Asda shop, then that's causing exactly the same effect in your surroundings.
It's probably worth mentioning that the national park itself is a protected landscape. It's not in national public ownership. It's made up of a lot of privately owned land. But the National Park Authority has a legal responsibility to protect the area. And one of the areas that we have to protect within the national park is the dark skies. So we actually are legally accountable to protect the night sky. So this series of events was going in some way to meeting the responsibility of national parks to protect night skies, but also to promote the national park as a destination to come for astronomy and night tourism. About a third of the population of the United Kingdom, excluding Northern Ireland, live within about an hour of the national park. So you're talking 16 to 20 million people.
Large numbers.
Exactly. So it's essentially a rural island surrounded by a sea of urbanity, really. Very accessible. And yet some of the most pristine skies in the United Kingdom are still available. So it's great for astronomers and really, really handy for Jodrell Bank and Manchester as well.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any more of these events going on, like, in the future? Are there any more planned?
we're planning to run a series of events in the near future, hopefully in partnership with Dark Sky Discovery, which you may be familiar with, which is another SDFC guided project run in partnership with Natural England. Funding for that is uncertain at the moment, but certainly we hope that it will become accessible in the future.
We have already some sites that are already developed. We've got a site at Surprise View where you've got a fantastic view over the landscape and have really nice dark sky as well, and that's something that's remaining there more or less permanently now for visitors that drive into the Peak District to stop by and see what they can observe of the night sky. And there's seasonal information chart with constellations, with Herschel images or Planck images of astronomical objects, and showing the general public where they can observe it.
But in terms of more events, it's almost certain that we will be running events throughout the year. One event that we've got definitely in the calendar at the moment is towards the end of October, and that's the second Peak District Star Party. So that's where we're inviting people into the Peak District to come and experience some dark skies, set up a telescope if you've got one, use one if you haven't, also experience some great talks by local and also nationally important astronomers, and really get to experience the night sky. So there's more information about that on the National Park website, but you can also do a search for Peak Star Party as well. If you look on the National Park website, you'll find out more information about events that we'll be running throughout the year. But certainly what we've run so far isn't the end. We're in this for the long term.
Okay, and we'll link to everything in the show notes.
That's great.
Links to that.
Excellent. Do you want to say anything about your particular project that you're promoting today?
Well, part of...
This is kind of another thing, isn't it?
Yeah, part of my work is also looking at specific examples of the heritage, one of which is a standing stone on Gardam's Edge, which is a landscape rich in heritage and sort of ideal for our work because it's also a dark area. And this standing stone is also late Stone Age, early Bronze Age, and has a possible astronomical alignment there, and it seems that one side will be seasonally illuminated depending on where the sun is, and one side will be only illuminated at midsummer completely. So this is a quite interesting astronomy link, so you can use a landscape and a monument to learn more about astronomy, and that's something I've presented here as well, which fits quite nicely into our overarching project of astronomy in the park and trying to link heritage, astronomy, and science understanding in general.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. So, thank you very much for talking to me, guys.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.